Thanks for joining us here for Portland Christian Center Podcast. This message continues with part 23 of a series titled, What If God Took Over? And takes us into a section we are calling Unleashed. Today's podcast is taught by Joel Slater, Associate Pastor at the Center. The primary scripture text comes from the book of Matthew chapter 7. Now here's our message titled, Build Up Your Foundation.
So happy Father's Day to everyone. I can't tell you what a privilege it is to have a great father. I know that not everyone has a great father figure or a father experience. I know I'm blessed because I have a great father and I have a great father-in-law. And I can't tell you how many times I've just experienced their wisdom and their counsel in my life. And I know that where I'm at today is so much in part of what these two men and other men who have spoken into my life have done for me, and I just want to say thank you for doing that. Maybe you feel this way. I came across a note from a college student. He wrote, Dad, please let me hear from you more often, even if it's only 5 or 10. Dad, I'd love to hear from you, even if it's only 5 or 10. And how often sometimes we want to hear from our father. We want to hear from our father figure, even if it's only 5 or 10. And as today we're finishing up this Sermon on the Mount series, we've looked at this series for over 23 weeks. And since Pastor's gone, I feel like I can go over every single sermon in the last 23 weeks. We won't be here very long, but we're going to cover all that material. No, I'm kidding. Scared you, didn't I? But I do want to bring this sermon series, this What If God Took Over, this Unleashed series to a close today. And I think you can summarize it in three simple steps. The first one is this, is that you look at the Sermon on the Mount, you simply realize that, you know, before anything, you gotta just come to the conclusion that you have to follow Jesus. Before Jesus sat down on that mount in chapter 5 and began to teach, in chapter 4, he went around and he told a bunch of people, he said, hey, follow me. Just follow me. He went to a couple of people fishing and he said, follow me. He walked around and he found people sitting around and he said, come follow me. And we see this in chapter 4, that before he asked them to do anything, he asked them simply to follow me. Come and get to know me. Come and find out who I am. Find out what I have to offer. Learn to trust me, but simply follow me. That's the first step. And then after you follow Jesus for a while, after you learn that, you know, this guy's credible. This guy has something to say. Then we take the next step. And we choose to believe. That we believe what he said is true. We believe that he is God. He said in John, in the book of John, he said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And today, if you don't have a good father figure, I want to tell you today that if you want to know who God the Father is, take a look at Jesus. Take a good look at Jesus and decide that you can believe in him. But that takes us to the third step, and that's what I want to talk to you today about. Because many of us have chosen to follow Jesus, and many of us have put our trust in Jesus. We've chosen to believe in Jesus. But there's a third step, and I think it's the stickiest one, and it's this: obey. See, that's the sticky step, and that's where many of you, maybe you're here in church and it's been a long time, or you know, this is the first time you've been to church, because your experience has always been the first time you came to church, the first thing you heard was obey. The first thing you heard, welcome to church, glad you're here. You better obey these rules. We have a list of rules. If you want to get with the program, here's the list of rules. Obey. And you don't even know what this place is all about. And you got hit with a bunch of rules. And so the church has made a mistake for a long, long time that we've gotten this order mixed up. See, we thought, and here's the wrong order, and I'll put it up on the screen, is we thought that the order was obey, then you believe, and then you follow. But that's not the order that we see in Scripture. That's not how it turns out. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I mean, even if you look in the Old Testament, that's not the way God revealed himself to his people. All the way back to the time of Moses, the most famous list of rules, what were they? The Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments. But you look in Scripture, and the first time that God introduces himself to his people, he doesn't say, hi, I'm God, here's a bunch of rules to follow. He revealed himself. He said, I'm God. I am the God that loves you. I am the God that has delivered you. And he took them out of Egypt and he did some miracles. He parted the Red Sea. He fed them in the desert. He brought water out of a rock. And then after they followed him for a while and they believed that he was who he said he was, then he said, you know who I am. You know I have your best in mind. Now obey me. Now obey me. But they had to do the first thing first. And people who get the order right, people who get this order right of follow, believe, and then obey, people who intentionally and radically organize their lives according to this order change society. Because 2,000 years ago, a little group of people began to follow Jesus. And after a time, they began to believe that he was who he said he was. And finally, they decided to obey Jesus. And this little group of people ultimately overturned an empire that at the very beginning had killed the man who had called them to do these things. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of shocks me. That when they follow God's plan, when they follow God's lead, when they follow Jesus, they ultimately overturned an empire. And at the end of this Sermon on the Mount, this most famous series, this most famous sermon, and that's full of kingdom living, full of how to do the kingdom life, full of what if God took over thinking, Jesus tells a parable, and you know this parable. You could probably sing the song. I could probably get you to sing it all with me. You want to sing it today? No? A wise man built his house upon. See, okay, we can go home now. You know this story. You know this story. And this story is so key because it encapsulates this entire sermon and explains to us, what if God took over? And really, I really wish that I could just sit across a coffee table from you. I really wish you could get a sense that this is exactly like what I remember so many times sitting across a table from my father or my father-in-law and telling me the main point of this sermon, because this is really what it is. Practical obedience makes all the practical difference. Because all these things Jesus has explained to you in this entire series from chapter 5 through chapter 7, if you wanted a bottom line, get to the point of this sermon, he says in this parable that we're going to look at in just a minute, practical obedience makes all the practical difference. Joel, if you'll just align your life, if you'll just radically align your life with what I've counseled you, it'll make all the difference in the world. I've sat across from my father and I said, Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do. And he goes, Joel, if you take my advice, son. I've been there. I've done that. And if you'll just realign your life according to my counsel, it'll make the difference. I've sat across from my father-in-law. My father-in-law has been in ministry a long time, and I'm so blessed. And I said, Mark, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. What am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to do it? Where am I supposed to go? And he says, well, Joel, based on my experience, if you do this, it'll make a difference. And I know here today that many of you may not have that opportunity or may have not had that privilege, but here today, you have the privilege to hear from your Heavenly Father. And he says, if you will realign your life according to my teachings, Jesus said, you'll be glad you did. So I want you to imagine that you're sitting across the coffee table from Jesus Christ. And he says, you've heard all these things. You've heard all this counsel. And I simply want you to ask a question. Could I realign my life according to the teachings of Jesus Christ? And Jesus said, if you do, you'll be glad you did. Turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 7. And at the very end, you know, again, you know this parable, starting in verse 24. We're going to read this in just a minute. But again, I want to just sum up a little bit about what we heard in this What If God Took Over series. It has a lot of bizarre teachings. It really does. Things like, when someone angers you, you're supposed to forgive. When someone has a grudge against you, it's up to you to go and make it right as best you can. I want you to give, Jesus says, no matter what. I want you to treat others the way you want to be treated. I want you to pray for your enemies. And guess what, guys? Lust is a sin. The guys listening said, no. Adultery is a sin. Jesus said, no, even thinking about it is a sin. See, if God took over, this is how you would think. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm asking you to conform your entire life, every aspect of your life, and every element of your lifestyle to my teachings, to Jesus' teachings. And the audience back then, I'm sure as much as now, would say, if I was to reorganize my life, if I was to do that, if I was to reorganize every single element of my life according to Jesus' teachings, my life would be radically different. It would be so different than what I see it as today. And honestly, I don't know if I can. And Jesus, knowing that they're thinking this, tells them this story. And it's here in verse 24 through 27. It says this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Let's think about this for a minute. There's a lot of similarities between a wise man and a foolish man. It's kind of hard sometimes to tell the difference on the outset. Turn to your neighbor and kind of wonder, is it next to a foolish man or a wise man? Well, let's see. There's similarities between these two. Number one is that both builders heard the message. Anyone that hears these words, they both hear the same message. Both builders build a house. They both built a house. In fact, they both built the house in the same general location. You see that they got hit by a storm. And the characteristics of the storm are the same. So it sounds like they're in the same general area. So where you live apparently doesn't really make a difference. And both builders build the same kind of house. They both built a house. I don't think there were many models and many styles back in that day. You got a house. A house is a house. So there's a lot of similarities. But here are the differences. And the differences are not noticeable from the outside. Basically, the difference is the type of foundation. The foundation they built their house on. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And whenever I grew up hearing that, I thought, well, you found kind of a nice hard spot. But the word, the Greek word, is not just rock, but it's a word that means a large outcropping of rock. I mean, a huge, not even a boulder. This is like basically a solid mountain cliff. He built it upon an enormous rock. But the foolish man built his house upon sand. And I thought, well, I don't really need to go looking at this word because sand means sand, right? But the original word actually is more than that. At the very least, it means a sand dune. How many of you want to build your house on a sand dune? You can already imagine where I'm going with that. But the original word, the Hebrew word, actually says it's, you know, the as far as I can figure out as I'm taking some Hebrew, it says it was a hole. And a hole meant a hole or a mud pit. So the wise man built his house upon a rocky cliff, but the foolish man built his house on a mud hole. Very different, I think. But that's not the only difference. The difference also is the effort in putting in the foundation. In Luke chapter 6, it elaborates on the story, and in Luke 48, it tells us that a wise man took the hard way. And you see that because it says, they are like a wise man. Those that hear my words and do what I say, they are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on the rock. He didn't just find a rock. He had to dig down deep and expose the rock. But the foolish man took the easy way. Because Luke 6:49 says, but the man who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. You got to cut corners somewhere. Might as well be the foundation, right? I'm going to take the easy way. It's just too much work. So going back to Matthew 7, Jesus said, anyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them. This is so critical. Anyone who hears these words and acts upon them. In our culture, really, in our Western Christian church culture, if you grew up in church like me, you got points for showing up. Showing up was a hard thing to do. But at least you get to show up. And showing up should be all that really needs to be, right? I mean, if I show up, I've done you a favor. And so here I am. That should be good. But in the New Testament, I challenge you to find anywhere in the New Testament where simply showing up was enough. Jesus said, in this parable at the very end of this sermon, he said, you know what? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you've chosen to follow me. I'm glad that you believe me. I'm glad you believe what I say is real. But you know what? It's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough. Anyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them. This parable is about doing and putting into practice what Jesus taught. He is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. In that area of Palestine, there were many gullies. There were many places, sandy gullies. In the desert, dry times, I'm sure there were some very picturesque pastoral places that you could build a house upon. The problem is it wasn't always dry. And in those times of rain, those dry gullies would become channels for flash floods. And if you chose to build your house upon that sandy place without a foundation, your house would face the floods, face the storms, and it would disintegrate from right out from under you. So when Jesus says a wise man builds his house upon the rock, his listeners know what he's talking about. And you know what? The funny thing is, they say, well, of course you build your house upon a rock. That's just common sense. You would never build your house on sand. You would never build your house in one of those gullies. I've seen what happens. Of course you build your house upon the rock. That's what a wise person does. And Jesus responds, exactly. Exactly. And it's the same with my teachings. Everyone who leaves this message today and does what I've taught, this is what Jesus is saying. Everyone who does what Jesus has taught is smart, is wise, is using common sense, just like a man who built his house upon a rock. Now, in the spirit of Father's Day, maybe we need a home improvement illustration. And there's a pastor by the name of Lane Jones, and he said this, unapplied truth is like unapplied paint. It doesn't do anybody any good. The value in paint is in the application. I can have a whole lot of truth. I can know a lot of truth. I can follow Jesus. I've got my truth. But it's like unapplied paint. It does no good unless it's applied. This parable is about doing, folks. It's about doing. And you know what? I just got to believe that if I was sitting there and listening to Jesus, I'd say, that could be a really arrogant thing to say. I mean, you're kind of insulting my intelligence here. Of course that's what a wise person does. But let me ask you this. Who would say this? An arrogant person or someone who knows what they're talking about? It's like Jesus leaning across the table from you again and saying, you know I'm a carpenter, right? You know I spent my entire life before I got into ministry, I was a carpenter. I know something about building houses. And I'm telling you, that if you follow my teachings, if you do what I tell you, it's the best decision you could ever make. It's exactly like building your house upon a rock. So, are we wise or are we foolish? It's not a death threat. Jesus isn't threatening us. He's not saying that you better do this in order to get me to love you. That's not what he's saying. He's saying you better do this if you want to get into heaven. That's not what he's saying. He's just saying, at the end of the day, if you align your life with my teachings, it's exactly like building your house upon the rock. And you'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did. It's common sense. It's common sense. It's common sense that says that before you get to all the pretty parts of building a house, you make sure the foundation is in good condition. You make sure the foundation of your house, the foundation of your life, is built on something that lasts. Because if the foundation is not solid, you're wasting your time and trouble's coming. But if you organize your life, and I mean your life, I'm not talking about just organizing today. I'm not just talking about organizing this week or this month. But I'm saying if you organize your life around what Jesus teaches, the smartest thing you could do. It's going to set you up successfully relationally. It's going to set you up for success professionally. It's going to set you up for success mentally. It applies to every element of your life. And you'll be just like a guy who builds their house on a rock. Why is that? Well, look in verse 25. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. And just like a house that has a proper foundation and it can withstand. I mean, we're not saying that you're going to avoid the storms of life. That's not what this parable teaches. This parable says when the storms of life, when the hard things of life come, you're going to get buffeted. You're going to lose some shingles. You're going to lose a shutter. You're going to see some damage, but your life will ultimately stand. Life isn't good sometimes. And how many people would raise their hand? You don't have to. Some people are eager to do that. Life isn't good sometimes. So you know that it's true. You're going to have trouble. You're going to face trouble in your marriage. You're going to face trouble in your finances. You're going to face trouble in your profession. You're going to face trouble in your parenting. And Jesus is saying, I'm glad that you've chosen to follow me. I'm glad you've chosen to believe that what I say is true. But there's got to be more than just that. Because life can be and will be hard. And what happens to your life is determined not by how pretty you make it look, but by the foundation upon which you build. Because a lot of people have it going on real well on the outside. But if they were to examine their foundation, would it be strong? Jesus is equating everything he's taught us in the last 23 weeks. And you could go back and download them on podcast or buy the CD and review them and realize everything that he has taught through this series, the Sermon on the Mount, is taught with good old fashioned common sense. So your life will withstand the storms of life. And it's not because of a prayer you prayed. It's not because of a confession that you made. It's not because of the number of church services that you attend, but because of the lifestyle that you chose to practice and aligning your life according to what Jesus taught. I want you to stop for a minute and ask this question. What would happen if one of those big storms, and you can fill in the blank, what would happen if one of those big storms hit you today? Would your life stand upon the foundation which you've been building? And Jesus says, the best preparation you can make for the future is to do something now, to organize your life around his teachings. Now, before the storms come. In verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And I'm sure his audience sat back and said, wait a minute, let's just get this straight. Are you saying that if I don't align my life around your teachings, I am a foolish man? I'm just like the idiot that builds his house on sand? You're saying if I don't align my life around your teachings? And Jesus is saying exactly. Ignoring his teachings is exactly like building your life on sand. Because obedience always follows sincere belief. If I truly believe, I will obey. A month and a half ago, I was in a pool with my 4-year-old son. And it was the first time that we were allowing him to be in deep water. And I got him up on the edge of the pool and I said, Jack, jump in my arms. No, Daddy. No, too deep. It's coming from a kid that's willing to jump down a flight of stairs into his mom's arms. He obviously trusts somebody else more than me. But I said, Jackson, you can trust me. I'm Daddy. I love you. You know Daddy loves you. Yes, Daddy, I love you. I love you so much, Daddy. And then Jackson, jump into my arms. Jump into my arms, Jack. No, Daddy, too deep. Jackson, who am I? Daddy. Does Daddy love you? Yes. Then jump into my arms. And he ultimately jumped. And then I paid the price because that's all he wanted to do from then on. See, when you truly believe, you will obey. And the more you obey, the more you'll want to obey because you know you can trust the one you have followed. Obedience always follows sincere belief. If you trust me, Jesus says, and if you believe in me, then you'll obey me. 1 John 2:3-6 in the Message version says this: here's how we can be sure we know God in the right way. Keep his commandments. If someone claims, I know him well, but doesn't keep his commandments, he's obviously a liar. Strong words. His life doesn't match his words. But the one who keeps God's word is the person in whom we see God's mature love. This is the only way to be sure we're in God. Anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life Jesus lived. Wow. Look at what happens when someone chooses to build their house, to build their life, and chooses not to align their life with Jesus. They experience the exact same storm. Their storms sound like, in this parable, no bigger than the storms that the wise man experienced. And no one is surprised. When someone hears this about, yeah, of course that's what's going to happen to the foolish man. Build your house on sand? Of course the house is not going to stand in the middle of a storm. Verse 27, the rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And Jesus is saying, you know, if you disregard my teachings, if you choose to build your life around another set of principles other than mine, if it's just too hard for you, you look at this Sermon on the Mount and say, it's just too hard. You look at it and say, you know what? It's not culturally relevant. It's just not going to fit in our day and age. If you're saying it's just too much work, if you're thinking, you know what? It's just too time consuming. I'm a busy man. I'm a busy woman. I just don't have time to realign my life in this way. If I have to pay a price, it's just too much. To do that, to use those excuses, to ignore what Jesus taught, even if you follow, even if you believe, but you refuse to obey, it's exactly like building a house upon the sand. And again, obedience always follows sincere belief. And consider this, verses 28 and 29. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Another way of saying that is when he said something, they just sat in amazement. And they said, this guy knows what he's talking about. This isn't theory to him. This isn't something he read in a book. This isn't just a good idea. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about. And as hard as it sounds, as outlandish as it seems, as weird as if I'd look, if I really did this, they thought, this guy knows what he's talking about. And in fact, some of them obeyed to the point where they actually went out and they did what he taught, and they ultimately changed the world. They were the original Unleashed campaign. They asked themselves, what if God took over my life? What if God took over? What if I built my life around these teachings? And they truly became unleashed. They released the potential that God gave them, and they changed the world. Sound familiar? So this parable can be accepted in three ways. You can accept this parable three ways. You can take this as a comfort. You can receive this parable as a comfort. That you've been sitting here for many weeks, maybe you just started coming, but it caught a hold of you. Maybe one sermon in this whole 23-week sermon has caught you, and you begin to realign your life around those principles. And even though it's been hard, even though it's been incredibly difficult, it's taken a beating on your time management, it's taken a beating on your finances, it's taken a beating on your marriage because your spouse is looking at you and saying, who are you? And what have you done? But you have chosen to do the hard work, and you've wondered many times, is this really worth it? Could I really let God take over every aspect of my life? There have been times where you wanted to quit, where the money hasn't been there, and you thought, you regretted and said, you know what, maybe this isn't a good idea, maybe this isn't a good time. But for you, there are people out here that have said, you know what, no, I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to stay with it. And this is a comfort to you because you can see Jesus' assurance that if you build your life according to his principles, it'll be like building your house upon a rock. So it's a comfort for many of you. And I want to challenge you. If you're asking, is it worth it? I'm just telling you what Jesus said. He said it is. It's worth it. But for some of you, this might be a warning. This could come to you as a warning. Some are going to disregard obedience and are laying a foundation that will not withstand storms in life. Things are going good now. Don't see what really the point is. Maybe you're young and thinking, you know, I got plenty of time. I got no money, so it really doesn't apply to me. But I'm telling you, this is a warning. That it's not about today. It's not about this week. It may not be about this month or even this year. But this is about how you're building your life. You like, some people here are saying, I like the fall apart. I could follow Jesus. Nothing wrong with Jesus. And I like the believe part. I like when I read the promises. I like that. But this obey thing is just too hard. You are asking too much. Some of us will not break off that relationship. Some of us will not realign our finances and how we do relationships. This idea of actually obeying is so threatening to you that you just want to completely disregard it in its entirety. Nope, it's too much. Maybe things are going really good right now and you're not about to mess with the philosophy or the system. But Jesus is saying again, this isn't about today. This isn't about next week. This is simply about the storm that's coming. And you know our weather in the Pacific Northwest. Even professional weathermen cannot predict the weather. But you know that there's a storm coming. You know that it's inevitable. You know the storm is coming. And Jesus is asking, what kind of foundation are you building? And will your life stand up to that storm? You don't rethink your foundations in the middle of a flood, folks. When the water is rising, you don't stop and say, you know what, maybe it wasn't a good idea to build here. Hey, did we ever check the foundations before we bought this place? It's too late. Regret does not result in practical differences once you've made the wrong decision. In the middle of that moment, you're in it. And there may be nothing to do but grab the scrapbook and the hard drive and head for higher ground. And a prayer isn't going to just do it. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in God doing miracles. But honestly, one little prayer, choosing to follow, choosing to believe, but not choosing to obey, is not going to cause you to close your eyes, say a quick prayer, and then suddenly life goes back to normal. Sometimes all you can do is start over again and say, you know what? Lost that foundation, lost that life I built. It may be time to start over again. And I'm here to gently say, you can't be mad at God because he warned us 2,000 years ago. We like follow and we like to believe, and he's been telling us for 2,000 years, build your foundation upon what lasts. He's been warning us. He's been warning us. And if you're sitting here thinking, I wish I'd heard that years ago, a bit late now, the best thing you could do, the smartest thing to do, is to embrace and begin to implement Jesus' teachings today. Today. See it as a warning. But for some of you, this is an explanation. It's an explanation. For those of you in the middle of a storm and you're maybe saying, well, why is God letting this happen to me? Maybe your marriage is on the rocks. Maybe you've turned to drugs or alcohol or pornography or some other addiction in order to medicate the pain. Maybe your dreams have gone up in smoke. Your life is not turning out the way you wanted. And you may even be angry with God. God can take it. God can handle it. But this isn't wrath, and this isn't punishment. This is simply an explanation that when you build your foundation upon something that doesn't last, it's not going to withstand the storms of life. It's the result of someone choosing to live their life the way they wanted. Maybe it's not your fault, but you're the victim of someone who is building their life on a foundation that won't last. But you might say, well, I go to church. I show up. I pray. But I serve. And I'll tell you, those are all great first steps. Those are all great things to get in the flow. Those are all great things to begin to be in the right place at the right time. But it's obedience that makes the difference. It's obedience that all the practical difference in life. And here's the good news. God doesn't love you any less. God hasn't stopped loving you. God has not abandoned you because he cannot violate his word. And that's why many people come to Christ in the middle of a crisis. They just simply believe. They understand, yeah, that foundation I laid didn't stand up. Time to head to higher ground. Time to start building something on something more solid. It comes down to who we trust. It comes down to who you trust, who you believe sincerely. Because society is giving you assignments every day. It's telling you, here's how you do your marriage. Here's how you do your parenting. Here's how you do your finances. Here's how you do all your relationships. Here's how you do your time management. Here. Take this assignment, society says, and go do it. You trust that? You trust society to tell you how to do things? Or would you trust what Jesus has to say? It's this kind of obedience, aligning ourselves with God's word, aligning ourselves with what Jesus said, that makes all the difference in life. It's this kind of difference, young people, I'll tell you today, you align your life with the teachings of Jesus Christ, you will live a life with no regrets. You won't have to look back and say, who did I get pregnant? You won't have to say that I wrecked my record and say that I can't get that job because I did something here. You align your life with Jesus' teachings, you will live your life with no regret. That is what Jesus is saying. You build a life on a foundation that will last, that will prepare you for the storms of life, that you will turn an empire upside down. It's this kind of obedience, I'm here to tell you today. We can go through 23 weeks of what if God took over, but it's this kind of obedience that will truly unleash Portland Christian Center to achieve its full potential. It's not about mentally believing it. It's not about agreeing with it wholeheartedly. It's not about Sarah O'Neill, you know, radically and enthusiastically supporting the pastor on here, although I appreciate it. It's about when we sincerely obey what God has taught. That is what is going to unleash Portland Christian Center. I'm going to invite our worship team to come up. As we get ready to close this service, I want to challenge you today. Again, this is simply Jesus sitting across the coffee table. And he's saying, I've been talking to you, I've been giving you advice for 23 weeks now. And you've heard all these things, and it's radical, and it's different, and it's strange, and it's weird. But again, I want you to understand, this is your Heavenly Father talking. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. He's not an earthly Father. God is exactly the Father that was always meant to be portrayed. And Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And if you've heard my words, if you listen to my teaching, you have heard the teachings of a Heavenly Father that loves you so much and is telling you, if you just live your life according to my teachings, it will radically change your life. It'll be the smartest thing you ever do. I love you so much, and I don't want anything to happen to you. And if you'll just take my advice, if you'll just order your life according to my teachings, you'll be glad you did. My father has reached across the coffee table. My father-in-law has reached the coffee table. And so many times, sometimes the words I've heard, I haven't liked. Sorry, Mark. But they were the words of someone who loved me so much, who wanted me to build a foundation that lasts. My marriage is where it is because people spoke into my life and told me, you can't build it on this. You can't build it on that. You've got to build it on a foundation that lasts. Where my kids are today, my kids aren't perfect. And I'm not perfect, but I'll tell you, it's not over yet. And I want to build a foundation that lasts. If you'll just do what I tell you to do, if you'll just realign your lives with the teachings of Jesus Christ, it'll be the best thing you ever did.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast featuring part 23 of the series, What If God Took Over? If you live in the Portland area and are looking for a place to connect or have a trip planned to the Portland, Oregon area, please join us on a Sunday morning. You can find out more information about our service times and about our church right here on our website at pcctoday.com.